I will, the God that says, I will. We're looking at over the past this year, on the second Sunday of the month. Today we're in Joshua chapter number 1. I'm going to read the first 11 verses. The word of God says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the river Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Incredible words spoken to the man Joshua. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your promises. Help us look into this lovely passage and see the blessings you have for us. Amen. As I thought this morning about coming to church and speaking on this, I was very much moved by the horrendous things going on in Gaza. 90 people killed, over 300 injured, just so somebody can try and take out two of the enemy. Life is being wasted in Gaza. But this is God speaking to Joshua before the children of Israel crossed the River Jordan to go into the land that they are still fighting over. And I don't want to get political, because that's not what it's all about. But it's just a tragedy that God's people didn't do what he asked them to do on this occasion. And then this issue, perhaps, who knows, God knows, would not have arisen. But they are fighting over land that God promised to the Jewish nation all those years ago. The children of Israel came out of Egypt. And God brought them out to bring them in. He brought them out of Egypt that they might be led to a land flowing with milk and honey, a blessed land, a land where all God's promises to his people were waiting for them. And in perhaps a few weeks, say 40 days, they came out of Egypt and they came to the edge of the promised land. And they sent 12 spies to look at the land. And 10 came back and said, it is an amazing land. It is all that God promised. It is all that God said it would be. And it's all there for us. But there are giants. There are cities. There are soldiers. And we can't go in. two of those spies came back, Joshua and Caleb, and they came back and said, all that God said about this land is true. All the blessings are there for us, and there are big cities, and there are great countries, and there are so many obstacles, but with our God, we can go in and claim that land. And democracy took over, as you know, and they listened to the ten, and they decided they weren't going to go into the land. And God said, a whole generation will die in the desert because you didn't trust and put your faith in me. And of those that came out of Egypt over the age of 20, I think it was, only two people entered the land. And they were Joshua and Caleb. What a tragedy. That a whole generation had to die before there was enough faith to go in and possess the land that God had given them. And so we come to this narrative here where Moses has died. I love the way that God puts this, you know. God spoke to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. That's pretty blunt, isn't it? Moses isn't around anymore. He's dead. He failed to go into the promised land because he didn't honour God in the way that he should. He struck the rock twice instead of once. And God says, because you have disobeyed me, you will not enter the promised land. Joshua was going to lead the people into the promised land. Well, the obedience of God's word is absolutely vital. We're going to see that as we go through this narrative this morning. But God says, listen, Joshua, you are going to lead these people. You are going to take them across the Jordan, and you are going to lead them into the land that I'm going to give you. North, south, east and west, this is your land. This is what I've got for you. All my promises are there for you. There's a land that's prosperous. There's a land that's flowing with milk and honey. There's a land that's going to grow stuff. Joshua, it's all going to be there for you. You have to cross the land. And God said to him, I will give you every place where you set your foot. What an amazing promise God made to Joshua. Every inch, every metric meter that you set foot into the land I'm going to give you, Joshua, it's yours. It's yours. So they've come out of Egypt. They've gone into the desert for 40 years. And Joshua has been Moses' apprentice for 40 years. And Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that came out to go in. And God says to Joshua, listen, you're going to lead these people, and every place you set your foot in that land, it's yours in my name. What an amazing promise. Oh yes, there was Jericho. And yes, there was Ai. And yes, there were other cities that had to be dealt with. That people came to them as they came to conquer their country and to take over. And God was taking them in for a reason to purge the land because of the disgraceful, ungodly behaviour of those people in that land. Their sin was so bad in the eyes of God that he was going to use the Israelites to purge the land of all the idolatry and the sacrificing of children and the abuse that was going on. God was using the Israelites to purge the land. And you will see as we get to, in a month's time, God willing, to look at the conquering of Jericho, the people who lived in that land knew all about the God of the Israelites. They'd heard what he had done in bringing them out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, and the victories they'd won in the desert. They knew all about it, but they refused to believe in the God of the Israelites. Therefore, God was going to come in and purge the land. They've got a decision to make. 3 days' time, they're going to cross the Jordan. 3 days' time, the river's going to be in flood, and they're going to cross the Jordan, and they're going to walk across, and then they must decide, how much of that land do we want? Maybe there were 2 million people. We don't know. 2 million people could have lined up along the river, 100 metres in, and said, we'll settle for this. We're happy with this. We've got 100 metre land here, bit of land here. We'll go 20 miles up and 20 miles down from the river, and we'll just build our camp here, and we'll build the walls here. Let's be ambitious. Let's go for 200 metres in. Let's go for 400 metres. They could have done that. And that's all the land they would have got. They'd come out of Egypt. God has saved them from the slavery in Egypt. Now he wants to take them into the land of his promises. And they must decide how many of those promises they want to claim. How much of the land they want to possess. How much of the land they want to own. What was God's promise? Wherever you put the sole of your foot, it's yours. Christian, this morning, am I just happy and content to be saved? Am I just happy to go to heaven? Is that it? Is that me? Is that you? Just happy to be born again, and am I quite content to rest on that and just, you know, don't want to do too much, don't want to go too far, just want to get into the land and happy to be saved. God says, listen, I've got things for you. We read this morning in Romans chapter 8. How will he not also along with him give us all things? And you decide for yourself how many of those promises and those victories you want to claim. And I decide for myself how many of those promises and victories I want to claim. What was God's promise? At the risk of being a broken record, wherever you put your foot, it's yours. How many of those promises have I claimed? Yes, I'm happy to be saved. And that's me. Or do I want to know more of God? I want to know about his sanctifying power. I want to know about his justification. I want to know about his redemption. I want to know more of God and more of God and more of God and reach out more and more for God and know God in my life and treasure everything that he's given me. Or am I just happy to be a Christian and I'll stop behind here and that's me finished? Joshua was told to go into the land and overcome. Nobody will be able to stand against you. Oh, God wants us to do something, but we can't do that because the enemy's out there and the world's a difficult place. And God says, listen, you're my people. You're my people. I've chosen you. I've equipped you. I've enabled you. I've given you my Holy Spirit. Colin was saying this morning at the end of our service about being filled with the Holy Spirit of God and doing things for God in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And so he says to us this morning, how far have you gone? How far do you want to go in claiming my promises? Well, that's okay for the bloke, said the ladies. It's okay for the men to be like that. Oh, that's okay for the young kids, said the old person. That's okay for the lady, says the bloke, who's a bit shy and retiring, but you know, no. It's for us all. All. The enemy's out there, but no one will be able to stand against you. That's what God said to Joshua. No one. No king, no city, no army will be able to stand against you as you march into this country which I have given you. Oh, this morning, folks, God is a God who gives victory to his people that they might conquer the enemy, overcome the enemy. Thank you, Steve. Our all-conquering, all-victorious God wants us to march in victory into the land of his promises. and to overcome and to deal with, and to live victoriously in the land. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Joshua, think back to what I did in the time of Moses. Don't dwell on it. Don't wish you were still there, because Moses is dead. Don't wish for the old time. Oh, when I was a kid, we had 2 million people at the children's meeting. When I was a kid, we had 145 people at a prayer meeting. And we think back to the old days, what they were. Joshua, don't think back to the old days. Look how powerful I was there. But Joshua, I'm with you today. Amen. I will be with you as I was with Moses. And I wasn't skitting at children's meetings or having to go up prayer meetings. I once saw a t-shirt. The older I get, on the back of it was this: the better I was. And it's like, you're looking back to, I could run faster now than I could then, because I'm thinking I'm better off then than I was now, and the old days were better. The Bible said, don't do that. We're living in the now. And our God is just as powerful and just as glorious and just as victorious as he was all those years ago.
Amen.
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, Kate. You can join him if you like. This is the reality of living for God. To have the courage to go forward and claim the victory in his name. Not because I think it's a good idea, but because the Holy Spirit is moving in us and filling us to the people God wants us to be. And to do that, we have to make preparations. We've got to get ready to march over the Jordan into the land of God's promises and keep on going. Never too old to claim a victory. Never too weak to claim a victory. Never too feeble to claim a victory. I reckon there's more battles won on people's knees than there is on our feet when people call to God. Listen, we got to be ready to march on and do things for God. As an individual, that's me. And as a church, as a church, to march to claim the victory that God's going to give us. 25 plus 12 times almost go. They had to. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, 7 things. Funny how things turn out, isn't it? Get ready to cross the river. Physically, mentally, spiritually. To get across the river. Once you've crossed the river, the past is finished with. Once you've crossed the river, the manna's going to stop. Once you've crossed the river, that the quails are not going to come anymore. I'm going to bless you as you go into the promised land. Get across that river and claim my promises and get ready to do it. Then they had to do, step number two was, decide how far into the land they wanted to go. Yeah? They had to decide that. That's their decision. They had to be strong and courageous all the time. They were going to face difficulties. But none of those difficulties were bigger than the God that they worshipped and served. They had to be careful to obey all the law. Be careful to obey all the law. Be careful. Not full of care. Not worrying about it. But be careful to obey all the law that I give you. God was going to be with them. But they had to obey what God said. God also said, put the words in your mouth. Don't be afraid to speak the word of God. In your mouth. Speak the word of God. Ephesians chapter 6 is the whole armor of God. And the only offensive weapon we have got against the enemy is the spoken word of God. The only weapon we've got. Bernie read to us this morning the account of Jesus in the desert. And what he did when he came against the enemy was this. He spoke the word of God. Didn't discuss it, didn't debate it, didn't come to some great philosophical argument. He spoke into that situation the word of God. And then the enemy spoke it back at him, misquoting it. And then Jesus, he said, the only weapon we've got is the word of God. How well do I know the word of God? Somebody asked me the other day, how long should I spend? No, somebody asked somebody, how long do you spend reading the Bible in a day? If I've got time, hang on a minute. If you take 10 minutes out of your day to spend with the Word of God, 10 minutes? 10 minutes? That leaves you with 23 hours and 50 minutes to do other stuff. I can't spend 10 minutes with the Word of God because I'm too busy. If I can't spend 10 minutes with the Word of God, I am too busy. You see, the Word of God is the only weapon we've got. And the only way we get into our mind is by reading it and thinking about it. So when I'm facing the enemy, the Holy Spirit of God brings to my mind those things that I've read. And if I don't read them, he can't produce it because he's not in there. Speak the word of God. You have to get into the word of God into their minds and meditate on it, thinking about it, chewing over, getting into their thoughts. It'll be a life-changing, its effect and influence. And the seventh thing was this. Not allow themselves to be discouraged. Not allow themselves to be discouraged because God is faithful and God is all powerful. Time has gone. The only way for a person to be prosperous and successful is by obeying God. There's some folk in our world who get streets named after them. They have trophies named after them. Some even get countries or states named after them. The only way for me to be successful and prosperous is by obeying the word of God. And nobody else might hear about me, nobody else might know that I exist. But if I'm faithful to what God wants me to do, I will be prosperous and I will be successful. Psalm 1 in verse, our service this morning that Steve read to us. The tree by the water will prosper, will thrive. Why? Because that man is drawing on the resources of God. And happy to do that. Time has gone, that's the third time I'm saying that, so I'll quit. But listen, I want to ask you a question. And don't answer me, answer God. How far have we gone into God's promise? How much more do I know now about it than I did 12, 30, 20 months, whatever ago? Do we allow ourselves to be discouraged because the going's tough? Have we got tougher? Because the problems are so big? Our God's bigger. Because the enemy's so strong. What am I going to say now? Our God is stronger. Don't be discouraged. Don't be disheartened. Every place you put your foot, it's yours. Every promise you claim in Christ is yours. Be careful to obey all that God says to you. Be careful not to get discouraged meditate on what God says, obey what God says. And they were the preparations for going into the land of God's promises. You see, that was just the start of it. They had to go on and do what God called them to do. And the first city they came to was Jericho. And we'll see next time the problem that sin brings. And we don't do what God says. But this morning, we're going to finish now. How far into God's promises have you gone? How far into the victory that God wants to give us have we gone as a church? Big question. Big God. Big opportunities. Let's close in prayer.